So we're here on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, about 7 lines down from the top. And the first words in the line are Avad Chilel. And then it says Minayin Demuzhar. And just to give a little bit of an introduction, we're talking about the case of a Zar, who's not a Kohen, obviously, and he's doing the Avodah of the Karbonos. And in doing so, he violates an Isur. And this was codified by Rabbi Yishmael in the Brisa above, but the Brisa didn't reveal to us where's the source for the Isur, for the Azhar of a Zar, not to do the Avodah. And Rabbi Yishmael spends a lot of time deriving from a Kal Vachomer that if the Zar did the Avodah, which he wasn't allowed to do, then the Avodah is Mechulelis. It's completely possible. So the Gemara says, how does Rabbi Yishmael know that there's an Azhara that enjoins the Zar from doing the Avodah? And if you'll tell me, the Gemara says, Mi vi nazru, if it's from the pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Beis of vi nazru, and the Gemara had suggested that before Rabbi Yishmael as a possible source for Zarus, because there in the pasuk it mentions Bnei Yisrael, which would apparently mean those who are not endowed with Kedushas Kahuna. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, if Rabbi Yishmael in the Braisa, which was quoted here on Daf Tes Vav, agrees to the Pasuk, the Nazru, then Chil Begufek Sivbe. Then in that very same Pasuk of the Nazru, the Torah says, V'lo Yichalalu, which implies that if the Zar went ahead and he did the Avodah, then it would be Mechuleles. So why did Rabbi Yishmael have to introduce the Kal Vachomer in order to prove that if the Zar B'dieved went ahead and he did the Avodah, it's Mechuleles? That's explicit in the Pasuk. We have no choice but to assume that Rabbi Yishmael rejected this Pasuk. It's not a source for Zar. He's going to be Cholik on this Drasha. And therefore we have to find a substitute, we have to find another possibility. How do we know that a Zar is not allowed to do the Avodah? Ella, so the Gemara says, from a different Pasuk. So now we're moving from Sefer Vayikra to Sefer Bamidbar, and there it says, V'zar lo yikrav aleichem, which literally means that the Zar should not come close to the Kohen to help the Kohen in the Avodah. And the fact that the Torah says lo yikrav, which is a lashon of a lav, that tells you that there's an azhara on the zar. He's not allowed to do the avodah. Then Rabbi Yishmael goes on to say, well, how do you know that if he went ahead and he did the avodah, that the avodah is mechuleles? It's completely invalid, and that he derives from a tzadashova, from Balmuv and from Tomei, as we learned yesterday. Okay. Now the Gemara says the following. This Tzad HaShoveh that Rabbi Yishmael derives from a combination, a joint forces of Balmuv and Tomei, then in both cases of Balmuv and Tomei, if they went ahead and they did the Avodah is Mechuleles, and therefore Zar should have the same status, equal in Mifrach. We have a common chumrah in both Balmum and Tomei, which doesn't apply in the case of a Zar. Malat Sada Shavashabahem Shekein Lo Hutru Bibama. So just to give a little background here about Bama, before the Mishkan was built, or after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, and the Migdash wasn't built, or Shiloh wasn't built, there was a heter bamos, which means that any individual could slaughter a korban in his own backyard, so to speak. And that's called a bama ktana. as opposed to Bama Gdol or Bama Tzibur, where a specific Migdash is designated, like, for example, the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, or Shiloh, and so forth and so on. So in the case of a Bama Ketana, which is also called a Bama Yachid, any member of Klal Yisrael is allowed to build his own personal Mizbeach, wherever he wants, and he can makriv Karbonos. Again, certain Karbonos, not all Karbonos, but certain Karbonos. And with regard to a Tome or a Balmum, their status as being disqualified for Avodas HaKarbonos applies even in the case of a Boma. But yet, any Jew, even if he's not a Kohen, is allowed to be Makriv on a Boma Bizman Heter Bomas. So what we have now is that the Torah is more Machmir in the cases of a Tome and a Balmum, because in those two cases he's not allowed to bring a Karbon even during the time of Bomos. But that's not true with regard to a Zar. And the Gemara later on in Zvachim Adaf Kuf Yud Gimel is going to derive from the Psukim in Tanakh that a Zar is allowed to be Makriv on a Boma. One example the Gemara gives is from the book of Shoftim. There, Gidon himself is recorded as being Makriv on a Boma. He was a Yisrael, he wasn't a Kohen. Or, for example, the father of Shimshon, his name was Manoach. He came from Sheva Dan, he was Makriv on a Boma. Shmuel was Makriv on a Boma, even though he came from Shevet Levi, but he was not a Kohen. So we have many examples throughout Tanakh of a Zar, a non-Kohen, who brought carbon on a Boma. So the Torah is more lenient in a Boma. And therefore, it could be the Torah would be more lenient in the... the Torah was more lenient in the case of a Zar, with regard to a Boma, and therefore it could be the Torah would be more lenient in the case of a Zar if he went and he did the Avodah. Then maybe we can validate his avoda. So therefore, the Gemara says, "Lo tema tame yochiach." Let's not introduce tame into the equation, because the tame is possible even bebama. Ela ema onen yochiach. In other words, onen is going to help us by joining forces together with a balmum to teach us the chilul hakorban in the case of a zar. We couldn't derive zar directly from a balmum, because balmum, the Torah was machmir, and it passed even the behema, that's the korev, if it was a balmum. However, in the case of tome, there is no din of tome with regard to the behema, meaning the behema that's nekrevas al gabia mizbeach. So therefore we wanted to join forces between tome and Balmum. But that's not going to help us now, because we have this pircha that both Tomei and Balmum are excluded from a Boma. So what the Gemara is doing now is it's plugging in, instead of Tomei, Onen. So let's just review what an Onen is. A person who Nebuch lost one of his seven relatives during that day of Misa, before Kvura, his status is that of an Onen. That includes also the night following the day. Again, only before Kvura. And an Onen cannot do the Avodah in the Mizbeach. That's something that's derived from the parish of Nodav Aviyu. And there, the psul of Onen only applies to the Makriv, but not to the Kariv. In other words, there's no parallel psul of Onen in the case of the animal that's being brought on the Mizbeach. Nevertheless, the Onen is Machal his Avodah. And the Gemara is going to darshan that from Sukkim later on. So what are you going to tell me? Mala onen shekein osur b'maisa sheni. There's a chumra in onen that certainly doesn't apply in the case of a zar. An onen is not allowed, he's enjoined from eating maisa sheni. The pasuk says, lo achalti bi oni mimeni, in the parasha in Kitavo. And since there's a chumrah as far as onen is concerned, vis-a-vis achilas maisa sheni, Therefore, maybe the Torah was machmir as far as chil avodoso, if the onen did the avoda, but not in the case of a zar. A zar is allowed to eat meiser. He has a kula, but now we're going to say balmum yochiyach, because balmum is allowed to eat meiser sheni, and yet he's machal as avoda v'chazer adin, and we go back and forth. In other words, the Gemara is now applying the logic that you could never attribute a particular chumrah to single it out and say, well, that generates the chil havodah. Because if you're going to point your finger at the fact that a balmum applies to even the karev, even to the behemah, that's not true with the case of onen. And if you're going to point out that an onen has a chumrah, insofar as he's enjoined from eating maisa, that's not true in the case of a balmum. Is there for loroi zekoroi ze hatzad shavish behem shemuzharim? It means that they both have one common denominator, that they're not allowed to do the avoda, neither a balmum nor an onen. And in both those cases, if they went ahead and they violated that isur and they did the avoda, the carbon is pasul. And if you'll tell me, but each one has a chumer that you don't find in zar, so how can you derive zar from the combination of the two? The answer is because each one will plug in for the chisard of the other. It's not a shavu. So let's just go over it one more time. If you'll counter with the pircha that balmum has a chumrah that it's even in the karev, so I'll prove it from onen, because onen has no parallel psul in the karev. And if you'll tell me, well, onen has a chumrah in the fact that he's enjoined from eating maaser sheni, I'll tell you, what about balmum? Balmum is allowed to eat maaser sheni. So the tzad hashav is that they're both enjoined from doing the avodas hakarban, and in both cases, if they violate that isur, the karban is mechulal. So too zar is enjoined from doing the avoda, and that we derive from the pasuk v'zar lo yikrav aleichem, and his avoda is an avoda psul. The Gemara now is not happy about this. Hachenami lifroch. Even if you join forces between balmum and onen, I still have a pircha malatzad hashavish b'em shekein lo hutru bibama. That in both cases, that of a balmum and that of an onen, they are excluded from being makriv on a bama, whereas a zar, as we proved, is allowed to be makriv on a bama. Now, how does the Gemara know that an onen is asur bibama, that he's enjoined from bringing a carbon on a bama? What's the basis for that? Maskif lo rav sama bre de rav uman lemel unto onen asur bibama dil mashari lubama. Why do you grant this premise, assume this premise, that an onen is like a balmum and he's excluded from avoda bibama? Maybe the Torah was mater avoda by an onen in the case of a bama. And therefore your whole pircha of this tzad hashaveh, by saying that in both cases, that of a balmum and of an onen, they are both enjoined from being makriv in a bama, how do you know such a thing? So the Gemara says that Rav Misharshia holds that since it doesn't say in the Torah one way or the other about the status of an onen in a bama, it's possible that an onen is possible in a bama. It's possible that he's kosher in a bama. We don't know either way. But we can establish a pircha on the tzad hashava by assuming that an onen like a balmum lo huter b'bama. In the case of a zar, it's explicit that he's huter b'bama. This is almost like a suffik l'chumra kind of svar. Since we don't know exactly what the status of an onen in a bama is, we're going to have to assume that an onen is excluded from a bama. Otherwise, the Torah should have gone out of its way to tell you that an onen is allowed to be makriv in a bama. Rav Misharshia Omar, in the case of Chil Avoda Vazar, Asya Bekal Vachomer Mikoen Hayoshev B'yes Avoda. Ma Yoshev Sha'ochel, he's allowed to eat Kodshim. But him Avar Chilel, if he went ahead and he was Makiv the carbon, the Torah requires that the Avoda, the carbon, be done Be'amida, while he's standing on the Azara. If he was a Yoshev, then he is not allowed to do the avoda, and if he did the avoda is mechuleles. And Yosef is allowed to eat kodshim. Zar is not allowed to eat kodshim. Now, keep in mind, when the Gemara says that Zar is not allowed to eat kodshim, we're talking about, let's say, a korban chatos, korban osham, korban ol, actually, not even a kohen is allowed to eat. But let's say in a chatos v'osham, which is kodshim, 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 it says zichrei kuna in the Torah, but a Zar is not allowed to eat from those kodshim. Is eno din shim avad chilel? If the Torah, in the case of Yosef, and the Torah is very makil in the case of Yosef, allows the Yosef to eat kodshim, and yet if he did the Yosef did the avoda is psula. How much more so in Zar, where the Torah is even more machmir, and the Torah says that a Zar is not allowed to eat kodshim, whether he's standing or he's sitting. Is how much more so in a din that im avad chilel. So the Gemara now offers a shoots down this kal v'chomer. There's a pirch on this kal v'chomer. Mali Yosef shekein posel li edus. The Torah says v'yomdu shnei anoshim, that when edim come to testify, they have to stand. They're not allowed to sit. And we don't find any sort of psul of a zar for edus. Obviously, a zar is made. But Yosef is not made, so therefore we have a chumra in Yosef. So we can't derive zar from Yosef. So Gemara says no. Mi Yosef Talmud Chacham. The halacha is that, and this is sugi Masechta Shavuos, that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to sit when he gives his testimony. And therefore, he doesn't have that chumrah that he's posuliatus. He's kosuliatus even though he's a Yosef. And as far as Havodah in the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, a Talmud Chacham is Oved. He has to be Oved Dafka Bamidah. If he was Oved B'Yeshiva, is Mechalel his Havodah. And let's derive Zar from a Kal V'Chomer that he, a Zar who's Osir B'Achilas Kodshim, certainly is Mechalel's Havodah. The Gemara is not so happy with that either. Malish shame Yosef shekein posel yedus. In other words, within the general context of a Yosef, which includes both a Talmud Chacham and someone who's not a Talmud Chacham, there is a psul yedus. So although it's true that in the case of Talmud Chacham, he can testify be yeshiva, but not everyone is a Talmud Chacham, and not everyone could testify as a Yosef. For the general public, a Yosef is posel yedus. And that's enough to offer a pircha, because we don't find in the case of Zaris any sort of psul yedus. So the Gemara answers to defend Rav Masharshi, who has this tzadashava between Balmum and Yosef, is shame Yosef lo parach. He's not interested in that kind of pircha. In his rule books and regulations that govern a tzadashava, you don't use the concept of shame Yosef. As long as I can find one case of a Yosef which is more kulodik than a zar, namely the Yosef of a Talmud Chacham, who on the one hand he's kosher liedus, on the other hand he's allowed to eat kodshim, and yet he's mechal his avoda. So a zar who cannot eat kodshim certainly is mechal his avoda. V'imtim tzoloma parech. Now the Gemara wants to offer an alternative explanation from Mishasha. Maybe he does hold from Shem Yosef is a pircha. He's Asya mi Yosef umichad mihanach. He could derive from Yosef together with one of the others. Let's say, for example, an onen, a tomei, or a balmum. So let's take, for example, the case of an onen. An one is kosher liedus, so he doesn't have that chumrah of Yosef, that Yosef is posel liedus. And yet he's machal, is avoda. And if you'll ask me, well, maybe onen has a certain chumrah, that an onen is a chumrah that he's also b'may sasheni, but Yosef doesn't have that chumrah. And yet in both these cases of a Yosef and an onen, if they went ahead and they violated the Isra avoda, the carbon is posel, so we're going to derive from that the case of Zar. So just to summarize, it comes out that according to Rav Mesharshia, we're not going to derive Zar from Onein, Tomei, or Balmum. And the reason for that is because a Zar has a Kula that he's Mutu B'Boma, which doesn't apply in the case of a Tomei or Balmum. And as far as an Onein is concerned, also we're not sure if he's Mutu B'Boma or he's Osu B'Boma. Therefore, we're going to have to introduce the variable of Yoshev into the equation, and Yoshev is going to offer us a Kal V'Chomer, and there's no Pirch on the Kal V'Chomer. And now the Gemara wants to know, but Yoshev the Kasher B'Boma Minolan, maybe Yoshev also suffers from the same Chumra as Tomei and Balmum and possibly Onein, that there's no Kashrus of a Shechita B'Boma unless he's standing when he does the Avodah Amakra. Lamod Lifnei Hashem Lishor. So the source for the psul of Yoshev and Avodah is in Dvarim Perek Yud. And there the Torah goes out of its way to say that the Avodah has to be done Ba'amida, Lamod, but Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem is indicative of the Beis HaMikdash, to the exclusion of the Lo Lifnei Bama. But in Bama you don't need Lamod Lifnei Hashem. So we have such relaxed rules with regard to Bama. In the case of a Bama, Zar could be Makriv. There's also no Din of Chutzim Koma or that kind, because the entire globe is fit for a Bama. We're not sure about an Onein, whether he's Kosher or Bama, but we certainly have a conclusion here that Yoshev is Kosher B'Boma. Okay. Now the Gemara has a discussion about Onein. Onein Minolan. How do we know that an Onein is possibly Avodah? Dichsiv, the Torah says in Vayikra Perek Chaf Aleph with regard to a Kohen Gadol that lost one of his close relatives, and although a regular Kohen is allowed to be Metame himself for the purpose of burying one of his close relatives, the Torah says that's not true for a Kohen Gadol. And that's the parasha that we're going to read in 2 days' time. Right? Parashas Emma.
Isn't that what happened with Aaron?
Right, that's what we're going to get to. So before we get to Aaron, we'll just read another line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Umina migdash lo yetze velo yechalel es migdash elokov." That as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, he's not allowed to be metame for any of his relatives. However, he's an Onein, and he continues to do his avoda. Even though he's an Onein, he does his avoda. He doesn't interrupt his avoda in order to leave the base on Migdash. He continues his avoda by Ninus. V'lo yechalel, and therefore he's not mechalel the avoda by Ninus. But that's only because he's a Kohen Gadol, or Acher, a regular Kohen Hedjot, Shalo Yotza Chilel, who didn't go out of the Beis HaMikdash, he continued to do his Avodah, he's Mechal, his Avodah. Okay. So this is the first source that the Gemara offers for the fact that an Onein is Mechalel, his Avodah, if he's not a Kohen Gadol. There's another alternative source in the parasha of Chanukas HaMishkan, and that's in Vayikra Perek Yud. Now, the background to this parasha is that on the day of Chanukas HaMishkan, there were three Seirim that were brought on that day. Now, we're going to know that Chanukas HaMishkan took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and therefore the first of these three Seirim is called the Soir Rosh Chodesh. And that's explicit in the Pasuk in Bamidbar Chof Ches, in the Parsha Pinchas, Parsha of the Korbanos, the Korbanos Musaf, that on Rosh Chodesh we have a special Korban Musaf. And since the day of Chanukas HaMishkan coincides with Rosh Chodesh, therefore there was a Soyer Rosh Chodesh. There were also two Seirim that were part of the Chanukah Samishkan. The Torah says that there's something called a Sayer of Yom Shmini L'Miluim for the eighth day of the Miluim. A Sayer was brought, and then there's the Sayer of Nachshon Ben Aminadav. He was Makriv, the first of all the Nesiim. He brought his carbon for the Chanukah Samizbeach. And the Torah says that on that day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, on the day of the dedication of the Mishkan, there was one of these Seirim was burnt. In other words, instead of being Makriv, the Seir on the Mizbeach, they just burnt it up. And the Gemara later on is going to identify amongst the three Seirim, the one that was Nisraf was the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Now, how do we know that one of these Karbonos was burnt? So let's read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'eis Seir Hachatos Dorosh Darash Moshe Vihine Soraf. Moshe Rabbeinu found out that the Soyer Achatos was burnt up. And we said before that that's the Soyer Achatos of of Rosh Chodesh. When Moshe finds out about this, Vayiktzov al Elazar v'al Itamar b'nei Aaron hanil sorim lemar. So after another Aviu perish, we're only left with Elazar and Itamar, the two sons of Aaron, and Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset with them. Madua lo achaltem es achatos b'mokom hakodesh ki kodesh kadoshim hi. Why didn't you eat from the chatos? As Moshe Rabbeinu assumes that the reason they burnt the chatos is because maybe they were owning him. But Moshe Rabbeinu felt that in this case they should have eaten the carbon. And Moshe Rabbeinu perhaps is not making a distinction between the Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen Hedjah, because Elazar and Itamar had the status each one of a Kohen Hedjah. Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. So it says, Vaydaber Aaron al Moshe Heim Hayom Hikrivu Eschatosal. They brought the Korban Chatos. It wasn't me. Had it been me, then Enochinami, we would have been able to eat the Korban Chatos, because even though I'm an onen on the loss of my two sons, but nevertheless a Kohen Gadol is kosher lavoda even when he's an onen. And it seems that Vayishma Moshe Vayita Bieno, that Moshe accepted Aaron's argument. Now, the Gemara in Zvachim on Daf Kuf Aleph, which is a good, 85 pages from where we're up to, it'll take a while till we get there. The Gemara there establishes that there are two shitos as to why the Chatos was burnt on that day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the day of the Chanukah San Mishkan. According to one school of thought, and that's the shita of Rabbi Nechemia, the Chatos was burnt because of aninus, because the Kohanim were onanim. And an onan, again on that day, which is the day in which Nadav Aviu died, is not allowed to eat the basar of the Soyer Chatos, and therefore they had to burn the Soyer. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon over there hold that no, it was burnt because of nitma habasar, that the basar became tameh. Okay, let's see how the Gemara develops now an alternative source for Chilul Avoda in the case of an Onan. Now, we're going to start with Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Nechemia at the end of Masechta Zvachim that the reason why they burnt the Chatos on that day was because of Aninus. Rabbi Elazar Omar Mihocha, from this parsha, and specifically from the response of Aaron to the tmiyah of Moshe, Moshe was surprised, why was this sire burnt? And Moshe Rabbeinu did not did not understand or did not accept the justification of Aninus. And that's what Aaron answers. He says, Hein Hayom Hikrivu. In other words, my sons were Makriv the Sawyer, and they have the status of Kohenim Hedyotim. And a Kohen Hedyot, if he's an Onain, his Avoda is an Avoda Psua. And therefore Aaron says, Ani Akravti? Do you think that I was the one who was Makriv the Korban? Because if I was Makriv the Korban as a Kohen Gadol, then I can be Makriv the Korban by Aninus. And therefore there would be no psul of Aninus. The Kohen Gadol is Mutalava by Aninus. But the reason why we had to burn the Chatos is because who's going to eat the Basar? The Korban may be kosher, but somebody's got to eat the Basar. And who can eat the Basar? Everybody's an Onain here, you know, whether it's Aaron himself or whether it's Itamar, Elazar and Itamar. Fine. Michlal, the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, from the answer, the response of Aaron, we could derive the E'inu Akriv Shapir Isteruf. You know, if it was true that the Karbon was Nikrav Al Yidei B'nei Aaron, Elazar v'Itamar, then we would have to burn the Karbon, because a Kohen Hedyot, his Avoda, if he was an Onain, is Posel, and the Karbon is Posel. In fact, we had to burn it for a different reason, that even though Aaron was part of the Avoda, of the Kohen Oven, he's Kohen Gadol, is Mutar B'Aninus, but nevertheless, there was no possibility of eating the Basar Karbon. That's why they burnt it. Now, Rabbi Elazar Maitaima Lo Omar Umin Amigdash Lo Yetze V'Lo Yechalel. The first suggestion as to the source for the Chil Avoda in the case of an Onain was from the pasuk Umina Migdash Lo Yetze V'Lo Yechalas Mikdash Elokov. In other words, that even if he's an Onain, since he's a Kohen Gadol, he doesn't have to terminate his Avoda. But had he been a Kohen Hedyot, he would have to terminate his Avoda in order not to be Mechal the Avoda. So why is Rabbi Lazar introducing here an alternative drasha from the parsha of the Sawyer Ha Nisraf Birosh Hoshis Biyom Hanukkah Sam Mishkan? Amalacha Miksiv, does it say in the Pasuk Ha Acher Shalo Yotzach Hilel? It mentions that the Kohen Gadol was not Mechal Baninus, but it doesn't say explicitly that a Kohen Hedyot would be Mechal his Avoda. It's possible that even a Kohen Hedyot would be Mechal his Avoda. Either Torah mentions that it was the Kohen Gadol who was Mutter in the Avoda. That's because we would have had a Havmina that even if Aninus is not a Posel in Kohen Hedyot, but maybe it would be a Posel Dafkin Kohen Gadol, he has such a great Chashiva, such a great Kedusha, then we would have thought that he's not allowed to serve in the Kohen by Ninus. And if he serves, he's Mechal his Avoda. So Rabbi Elazar was not convinced that this Pasuk of Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze V'Lo Yechalel would be a source for a Kohen Hedyot being Mechal his Avoda. Maybe a Kohen Hedyot is not Mechal his Avoda. The Torah wanted to be Mechadish, and even a Kohen Gadol is not Mechal his Avoda. V'idach, and what about the first Amora that accepted this pasuk of Min HaMikdash Lo Yetze V'Lechal as the source for an Onein being Mechal his Avoda? My time alo Omar Mehen Hikrivu. In other words, why would that Amora think that the chil of an Onein should be derived? Why should it be derived from Hein Hikrivu, from the parasha of Aaron? Because some Neituma Nisrafa. He holds like the other sheet of Yehuda Rav Shimon, that the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh at the time of the Chanukah of Mizbech was not burnt because of Aninus, but rather because the Basa became Tomei. The Bei Rav Yishmol Tana. Now we have a third source for Onein Mechal Avodoso. Asiyo Bekavachomi Balmu. Uma Balmu. Here we turn to Daf Tez Zayin Omid Beis. Ma Balmu. Who has a kula, sha'ochel, he's allowed to eat kachim. Im avad chilel, yet if he went ahead, he went ahead and he did the avoda as a balmum, he's machal as avoda. Onen, she'ena ochel, an onen who's not allowed to eat kachim, we'll come back to that in a minute, is eno din shim avad chilel, how much more so if he violated and he went and he did the avod, he's mechal as avod. If balmum, who's allowed to eat kodshim, if he did the avod that's possible, so certainly when the Torah is more machmir, an onen who's not allowed to eat kodshim. And how do we know that an onen is not allowed to eat kodshim? We know that an onen is not allowed to eat maiser from the pasuk ochalti boni mimeni, and kal v'chomer that he's not allowed to eat kodshim. Kodshim is always more chomer than maiser. Maiser has a low level kedusha. Now we mentioned here that a balmum, if he went and he did his avodah, his machalas avodah, that's based on a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Aleph, Ach el haparochas lo yovel mizbech lo yigash ki mum bo velo yechalas mikdoshi, meaning that if he comes closely, he's nigash to do the avodah, then he's machal the avodah. So we know that balmum is machalas avodah, and yet the balmum is allowed to eat kochi kochi. Whereas in the case of an onen, he's not allowed to eat kachim, kachim, and that was derived from a kavachom from Maiser. So if the Torah is more machmir in onen than it is in balmum, and a balmum is machal is avoda, how much more so that an onen would be machal is avoda? So Gemara says, Mala balmum, shekena osabo, kravim, kamakrivim. You can't derive anything from Balmum because the Torah is machmir in a Balmum insofar as not only the makriv is possible if he has a mum, but also the behema is psula if she has a mum. And Aninus, on the other hand, has no application to the behema itself. So Gemara answers Zar Yochiyah. In the case of Zar, the psul is only in the makriv and not in the karev. There's no such thing as Zoras in the behema. Nevertheless, he's machal as avoda. And then you'll tell me, but mal is Zar, shekein ein lo takono. A Zar, once he's a Zar, he's always a Zar. And therefore, the Torah is machmir to be machal as avoda. But Onen has a takona. You know, you just wait till he finishes his aninus, and they bury the mess. And the very next day, his aninus is completely gone, and he's koshal avoda. So therefore we see that a Zar is not going to be a very good candidate source for Onen, because an Onen is a passing psul, right? It's transient, it's here today and gone tomorrow, literally. Mashenkin Zorus is a permanent psul for the rest of his life. So Gemara says, Balmum Yochiyah. Balmum is only a temporary psul. Again, there are different types of mumim, but we have something called a mum over. Are you familiar with that? You know, it's a blemish that will heal itself. So that's called a temporary blemish. So let's just go over what we have over here. We have a chumrah in Balmum, that there is a status of a psul balmum even in the behema, in the karev, which doesn't apply in the case of an onen. Okay, then we're going to introduce zar, which zar doesn't have a psul in the karev and the behema, so therefore it doesn't have that chumrah of balmum. But zar is not going to be good because zar ain't lo takana, whereas an onen has takana. So then we're going to do a tzara shover, the chazar adin. As soon as you'll come up with a pircha, you'll try to attribute the chil avodah to a particular a variable of chumrah, I'm going to prove it from the other one, that other one doesn't have, absent that chumrah, and yet it's avodah is posel. So the chumrah of balmum is not the same as the chumrah of azar, and the chumrah of azar is not the same as the chumrah of balmum. Balmum has a chumrah because it's posel even the karev. Zar doesn't have that chumrah at all. Zar has a chumrah that ain lo takona, but a balmum doesn't have because it's a mum over. Therefore, we see that not this chumrah nor that chumrah is goreim the din of chil avoda. And I can keep going back, bouncing you back and forth. Hatzad Hashem Shemen Shem Musharim V'im Avdu Chilalu Afani Avi Onen Shem Musar V'im Avad Chilal. Now, again, the whole premise of this Kal Vachomer together with the Tzad HaShoveh of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel is that an Onen is enjoined from doing the avoda. So the Gemara now turns around and says, Heichon Muzar, where's the source in the Torah that an Onen is not allowed to be Oved in the Beis HaMikdash? Elam, if you're going to tell me, min HaMikdash lo yetze, that it says by Kohen Gadol that if he's an Onen, like the case of Aaron when he lost his sons, that he continues to do the avoda. And the Gemara back on Omen Aleph said, if you recall, the drasha is that Dafka Kohen Gadol is allowed to do avoda b'anina, so Kohen Hedged is not. Is then chil begufe ksiv beit? Why is Rabbi Shmuel looking for a source and a Tzad HaShoveh to establish that in the case of an one, the avoda is possible? After all, it says it explicitly in the possible. Because the pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to cease or terminate his avoda when he becomes an onen, and he's not mechala v'lo yechala. It says he's not mechala the karma. Obviously, acher, someone who's not a Kohen Gadol, he's a Kohen Hedged. If he doesn't go out of the mikdash, he's mechala. So, if Tanit Bei Rishmol agrees that the source for the Azhara, the prohibition of an onen doing the avoda, is this min hamikdash lo yetze v'lo yechalel, then it would be absolutely unnecessary, superfluous for him to derive from all these kal vachomers and tzad HaShoveh that an onen passes his avoda. It says explicitly here v'lo yechalel. Ella, but rather the Bei Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rebbe Loza on Amud Aleph, who says that the Azar of an Onen is derived from the drasha of what? Hein Hikrivu. And the reason why they burnt the Sayer is because they couldn't eat for the Basar HaSayer, because it was possible. Kasarim Ne'aninus Nisrafa. And why was this Sayer possible? And the answer is because the Kohanim were in the status of Aninus, Iron Abonavor Onenim, and therefore they could not eat the Basar, therefore it was burnt. So now we know that an onen is enjoined from right. Since the Torah was matir Kohen Gadol to do the avoda baninus, implying that the Kohen Hedjot is muzar, he is enjoined from doing the avoda in aninus. Now he asks me, how do I know that if he went and he did the avoda is an avoda psula? That we're going to derive from a Tzad HaShoveh, and we're going to join forces between Balmum and Zar. So the Gemara says, Ikal Mifrach Mal Tzad HaShoveh Sheben Shekein Lo Hutru Michlolo. You cannot derive an Onen from the other cases, because the other cases are Asur from A to Z, completely, all inclusive. For example, Balmum is not allowed to do avoda in any circumstance whatsoever, as long as he's a balmum. And the same is true for a zar. There is never a case where a zar is allowed to do the avoda. But in the case of aninus, the Torah says that the Kohen Gadol is omed by aninus. That's called hutar mechlolo. Now, it's the Isra aninus in the case of avodas karbanos is chal even with regard to Kohen Gadol, but yet the Torah says that a Kohen Gadol is mutter, he's allowed to do the avodah ba'aninus. So that's called hutu mechlolo. When you have an isur and the Torah was mater that isur, like for example the case of chodosh. Chodosh is asur, both for achilas adam and achilas mizbeach, and the isur chodosh achilas mizbeach continues even after tezayin benisan, even after Pesach, up until Shavuos. But it's hutu mechlolo because since the Iser Chodesh Le Achilas Adam was removed by Pesach, by the Akrovas HaOmer, therefore the Iser Chodesh Le Mizbeach is already Hutar Mechlolo. There's already a, you know, there's like a puncture in the balloon. It's not a full-fledged balloon. Now, in the case of Zar, we also seem to have a huta mechlol. The Gemara is assuming here that both Zar and Balmum is low huta mechlol, which means they are always possibly avoda. But that's not really true, because a Zar has a heter avoda in the case of a Bama. So the answer is that Bama was low nes harmiolam. There was never an Iser at all with regard to a Zar in a Bama. But Aninus in the case of a Migdash is Asur, even for a Kohen Gadol. The Torah then went ahead and was Matir in a Kohen Gadol. That's called Huta Mechlolo. So let's just summarize. The Gemara is now saying that we have a particular Kula in the case of an Onen. And that's the fact that a Kohen Gadol is mutter lavod ba'aninus. Whereas the Malamdim here, the Tzadash Shavu, which means the cases of Balmum and Zar, is lo hutu mechlol. They never have a het. So Gemara says, Tome Yochia. How about the case of a Tome? A Tome is never allowed to bring his karmon. Ah, no, faker. Tome Yochia means, I'll prove to you that hutar mechlolo is not a that lo huta mechlolo is not the cause of a chumra of passing the avoda if it was done of chilul avoda, because in the case of tomei you don't have that chumra of lo huta mechlolo because tomei is huta mechlolo. Now why is tomei considered huta mechlolo? So the answer is the Gemara derives in Psachim Legabi the carbon sibur of a carbon tamid, that since it says b'mo'ado, the word b'mo'ado teaches me that even bituma. And the Gemara darshins that that's a universal halach in carbonus. It's not limited to carbon tamid, and even a carbon olo or chatas hatzibur, whatever the case may be, if it's a carbon sibur and it has this man kavua set time, then it's hutar b'tuma. So tuma is hutar mechlolo. And yet, if the tomei did the avoda, let's say in a carbon yachid, not in a carbon tzibur, the avoda is psula. And let's use tomei now to prove that an onen, who in a sense is like a tomei because it's hutar mechlolo, is the avoda, is an avoda psula. And what would give you the kal v'chomer? Why would onen be more chomer than tamei? And if you'll say that tamei is chomer because it's metame acherim, which obviously doesn't apply to an onen, so we're gonna add one of the others. Let's say we'll add balmum, which is not metame acherim, doesn't by contagion have any negative impact on others. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry. It's right here in the next line. Malatame shekein mitame acherim. So maybe the reason why the avodah of a tame is possible is because there's a separate chumer in tame that's mitame acherim. But in the case of aninus, which is not mitame acherim, meaning the psul of aninus does not, by contagion, spread to someone else, it's kal relative to tame. And maybe therefore the Torah would be makel and say that the onen is not mechal is avoda. So Gemara answers Hanoch, the case of Zar Ubalmum together, Yochichu. If we join forces between a Zar and a Balmum, then we're okay. Because Radin lo Roy Zek Roy Zet, Sarashovish ben Zar Balmum Vitome, Shemus Horim, they are enjoined from doing the Avodah. And if they went in and they violated, they did the Avodah's Machal, the Avodah, so too, I'll bring in Onen, that since he's Muzar, therefore his Avodah is Mechuleles. So the Gemara asks, but Ma, Philifrof Malatzad Shavish Behem, Shekain Lo Huta Mechlolon Eitel Kohen Gadol Bekarban Yachid. In other words, that an Onen has a special Kula, that the Torah was Matir, an Onen in the case of a Kohen Gadol. And that's not going to be true in the cases of Zar, Balmum, and Tomei. Those three Psulim don't have this hetem echlolo that an onen has. Again, although we said before that a tome is also hetem echlolo gabi karban tzibur, but here the Gemara is talking specifically about a karban yachid, and there's no heter for tuma in the case of a karban yachid. So the Gemara answers, this is not a pircha. Why? Sheshem tuma mia ishtere. There is a heter in the klal of tomei, albeit not in the case of a karban yachid, but in the case of a karban tzib. Now the Gemara brings another source to establish that the avod of an onen is mechuleles. And the Gemara says, Ramesharshia Omar Asya bekalvachomer miyoshev. Uma yoshev sha'ochel im avad chilel is onen she'eno ochel eno dinshim avad chilel. The Torah is more lenient in the case of a yoshev. He's allowed to eat kodshim, and yet if he does the avod, his avod is mechulelis, and an onen is not allowed to eat kodshim, is how much more so his avod would be mechulelis, because it's a chumra. So the Gemara says, Mali Yoshev Shekain Posul Li Edus. Yoshev has a chumrah that we don't find in the case of an onen. And that is his psul edus in the case of a Yoshev. We don't find a psul edus in onen. Again, I'm not inviting the onen to come into Beis Din, but if he testifies, his testimony is perfectly valid. So now we're going to go through the Shem Yoresh business, the Shem Yoshev that we discussed before. Yoshev Talmud Chacham. What about the case of Talmud Chacham? He's not Posli Edus. But Mal Shem Yoshev Shekem Posli Edus. And the Gemara answers Shem Yoshev Lo Parach. In other words, since we have within the context of a Yoshev a case where there's no kula, meaning, I'm sorry, where there's no chumra of psul edus, and that's in the case of Tan Chacham, therefore Yoshev becomes a valid candidate. The intim tzolomar prich, and if you'll say that this Tana does accept the prich of a shem Yoshev, which means that there are cases of Yoshev that's posliedus in the case of a hedjot, you know, who's not a Talmud Chacham, whereas in the case of Aninus, there's no chumra of psoliedus at all, is Asya miYoshev miChana miHanach. Now we can introduce a tzarashoveh. We'll take the case of Yoshev and we'll add to it one of the other cases, whether it's Balmum, whether it's Zar, whether it's Tomei. For example, if you're going to say Mali Yoshev, the Chumra of Yoshev Shekein Posliedus, then what about a Balmum who's Koshliedus? And yet the Balmum is Machal his Avoda B'dievet. And if you're going to say, well, I can't derive anything from Balmum because it's Karev and Makriv, which is not the case of an Onen, and therefore maybe there's a special Chumra in the case of Balmum, so then we're going to say Yoshev Yochiach, because Yoshev is only a psul in the Makriv, not in the Kariv. And that's going to be the Chazar Adin and the Tzad HaShav. Now this next sugya that we're about to learn, and I warn you, is not a it's not a sugya for fast pace. This really requires a month's work. Let's just try with Hashem Yisbarach's help to get by it, you know, a little bit more of a superficial learning. And that is the case of an onen, which we said that if an onen does the avoda is psula. And the question is, would we passel the avoda of an onen if it was on a carbon tzibur? Omar Rava, lo shanu, when do we learn this halacha that the onen's avoda is psula, that's only ela b'karbon yachid? Of the carbon tzibur, we give one example. There are many examples, but let's say the carbon tamid, which was brought twice daily, is a carbon tzibur. And if, let's say, the carbon was brought by an onen, let's say he's shechted or he's makabel adam, is maratza, the carbon has a ritza. You know, this is a valid carbon, it's a kosher carbon. He doesn't have to replace it with a different carbon. And Rav derives this from a kal vachomer. And the entire sugi revolves around this kal vachomer and whether or not we really have the green light to make such a kal vachomer. And the kal vachomer is from tumah. Right? Because there's a principle called tumah hutra b'tzibur, which we touched on a little bit earlier today. And if we see that kula in tumah, with regard to carbon tzibur, we might be tempted to apply that to onen as well, and say that the Torah is mekil in the case of an onen vis-a-vis a carbon tzibur. How do we do this? The kal vachomer, ma tuma shelo hutra mechlola etzel kohen gadol b'karbon yachid. In the case of tuma, we're going to assume that since the Torah enjoins the Kohen and Betumasam from bringing Karbanos, the Torah doesn't make any distinction between a Kohen a Hedjot and a Kohen Gadol, then we're going to assume that Tumah excludes even a Kohen Gadol. In other words, when the Torah says that it, with regard to a Karban Yachid, there's no heter of bringing the Karban Tumah, That should be taken straight across the board. The Torah doesn't offer any qualifications. It matters not whether we're dealing with a Kohen Hedjot or a Kohen Gadol. There's no heter of Tumah in a Karban Yachid, period. So you'll have to be my stenographer here, my memory collector here. And you have to tell me that with regard to Tumah, there's no heter in a Karban Yachid, which means neither in the case of a Kohen Hedjot, nor even in the case of a Kohen Hedjot, Kohen Gadol, there's no heter in Tumah, again, in the case of a Karban Yachid. Nevertheless, Hutra Eitzel Hedjot B'Karban Tzibur. Now, again, we don't know when the Torah is Matir Tumah for the sake of a Karban Tzibur, I don't know if it's a Kohen Gadol or a Kohen Stam, you know, a Kohen Hedjah. But since the Torah doesn't qualify, the Torah just says Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, then the assumption is, the premise is, that that applies even to a Kohen Hedjah. So who's ever doing the Avoda of a Karban Tzibur, correct? Mm-hmm. Then even if he's a Kohen Hedjot, it's Hutra B'Karban Tzibur. Again, we're not going into all the details of when you apply Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. In other words, is it Rov HaTzibur, whatever the dinim are and the conditions are, but the Heter applies both to a Kohen Gadol and to a Kohen Hedjot. So it's very interesting. If we're talking about a Karban Yachid, then there's no heter of Tumah, which means even a Kohen Gadol is enjoined. If you're talking about a Karban Tzibur, then there's an absolute all-inclusive heter, and even a Kohen Hedjot is included. So with regard to Tuma lo hutra, in a case of a Karban Yachid, it's lo hutra af b'kohen gadol. In a case of hutra b'karban tzibur, it's hutra af l'kohen hejet. Now, aninus is going to be considered relative to Tuma as something that's kal. And why is that? Hutra mechlole tzil kohen gadol b'karban yachid. The Torah allows the Aaron HaKohen, if you remember, according to that mandiyomah, that the problem was Aninus, allows him to complete the Avoda. And that's the source for a Kohen Gadol who's allowed, even by Aninus, to do his Avoda. And now Rava says, B'Karban Yachid, even with regard to Karban Yachid. Now that's a little bit tricky, because the context of the heter of onen in a kohen gadol is really a karban tzibur, but since the Torah didn't go out of its way to whittle it down and exclude a karban yachid, then we assume that in the case of a kohen gadol who's an onen, even a karban yachid could be brought by the kohen. Is eino din shehutra etzel kohen hejot be karban tzibur. It must be that in the case of an onen, he, even a kohen hedjot, is allowed to be makriv in a karban tzibur situation. So let's just sort of see if we can summarize, you know, this very complicated and sophisticated kal vachomer of Rava. Rava is basically saying that if we do a comparative analysis between Tuma and Aninus, we'll find a kula in Aninus that doesn't apply in the case of Tuma. In Tuma, if you're talking about a Karban Yachid, the Torah is Machmir, whereas in the case of Aninus, the Torah will be Mekil, at least as far as Kohen Gadol is concerned, even for a Karban Yachid. So that establishes that if we make a comparison between the status of Tuma and the status of Aninus as far as Hechsher HaKarban or Psul HaKarban, we're going to find that the Torah is more lenient in the case of Aninus than it was in the case of Tuma, because what we find is that a Kohen Gadol is included in the prohibition with regard to Tuma, at least again as far as Karban Yachid is concerned, and yet in the case of Aninus the Torah was Mekil for a Kohen Gadol even in a Karban Yachid. So you see that whereas the Torah in a Karban Yachid in Tuma was Machmir in the Kohen Gadol in the case of Aninus b'Karban Yachid, the Torah was Mekil. So Aninus vis-a-vis Tuma is a Kal vis-a-vis a Chomor. And if what we find in the case of Tuma is that Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, that we can be Matir Avoda B'Tuma for the sake of a Karban Tzibur, is how much more so in the case of an Onen, we could be Matir Aninus for the sake of a Karban Tzibur. But keep in mind, we're talking here about a Kohen Hedjot, because Rava is always going to extend the din to both a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjot, whether it's in this direction or in that direction. In the case of Tuma and a Karban Yachid, then we're going to say Lo Hutra Bain b'kohen hedjot and even b'kohen gadol. In the case of Aninus, where the Torah was, just one second, it's on the case of Tuma Shalo Hutra, oh, that's in a Karban Yachid. And in the case of a Karban Tzibur, we're going to say the Torah was Matir Tuma even for a Kohen hedjot. Do you see how that works? We're going to go in both directions. We're going to swallow up and equate Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedjot, whether it's L'chumra L'tuma, or whether it's L'kula L'hechsher HaKarba, in the case of Tuma. We're going to be Machmir in the case of a Karban Yachid, and we're going to again extend it even to a Kohen Gadol. He's included in that Isur. And we're going to be Mekil in the case of a Karban Tzibur, and once again, once you're going to be Matir Tuma in the case of a Karban Tzibur, you're going to do so even with regard to a Kohen Hedjot. And if you now put all the chips together and you know put all the variables together, you end up with a Kal Vachomer, because you see that the Torah is more machmir in Tumah than it is in Aninus. Because the Torah is machmir in Tumah in the case of a Korban Yochid, to include even a Kohen Gadol. In the case of Aninus, the Torah was matir a Korban Yochid, at least vis-a-vis a Kohen Gadol. So that's called Huta Mechlolo. So we don't have that Huta Mechlolo in Tumah as far as a Korban Yochid is concerned. And again, if it's a Korban Tziva, there's no difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjah. So where do we find this distinction between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hedjah, where the Torah was Mekil for a Kohen Gadol? That's only going to be in the case of Aninus. As far as Tumah is concerned, there's no special status to a Kohen Gadol. Either it's a Korban Yochid and a Kohen Gadol is excluded, or it's a Korban Tziva and even a Kohen Hedjot is included in the Heter. But where do we find a Kula with regard to a Kohen Gadol? Where does the Kohen Gadol stand out away from the pack? That's going to be in the case of Aninus Bekarban Yochid. And if the Torah was Mekil in the case of Aninus, now we're ready for our Kal Vachomer. We saw that for the sake of a Korban Tziva we matir Tumah, and that's even for a Kohen Hedjot. And how much more so in a Korban Tziva we're going to be matir an Aninus situation, because Aninus, as we said, is more Kal vis-a-vis Tumah. So that's the presentation of this very complicated Kal Vachomer of Rava. And the balance of the sugya is to prove, with again some very complicated logical arguments, that this Kal Vachomer is unacceptable. And it's very interesting because, you know, we never found that in like one area of halacha that area of halacha is excluded from Kal Vachomer, you know, that it's mufka from Kal Vachomer. Here in this whole situation about psul aninus and when perhaps we can be machshir the avod of an onen, perhaps in a Korban Tziva situation like in Tumah, that doesn't lend itself to a Kal Vachomer. And the one who's going to prove that we have to exclude Kal Vachomer, his name is Rava, but he's not the same Rava who started with the Kal Vachomer. This is Rava Bar Ahiloi, a different Rava. So it's a kash of Rava on Rava. Well, one Rava is called Bar Ahiloi, and the other Rava is Rava. It's Rava Stam. And basically what the Gemara is going to argue, Rava Bar Ahiloi is going to argue that Rava himself in his Kal Vachomer was assuming three different premises, and each of those premises can be knocked down by a Kal Vachomer, and therefore you'll never get any clarity as far as the Kal Vachomer is concerned. The Kal Vachomer is going to be an endless vicious cycle in which you come to opposite conclusions. But let's just quickly, and then we'll finish up, mention the three fundamental premises of Rava when he presented the logic of his Kal Vachomer. The first premise is that since the Torah was only Matir Tumah in a case of a Korban Tzibur, but not in a case of a Korban Yochid, that includes a Kohen Gadol as well. So to the same extent that a Kohen Hedjot is enjoined from doing the Avodah B'Tumah in the case of a Korban Yochid, so too a Kohen Gadol is also enjoined from doing the Avodah of a Korban Yochid B'Tumah. That's premise number one. The second premise is that when the Torah was Matir Tumah for the sake of a Korban Tziva, that applies even to a Kohen Hedjot. So again, as we emphasized before, Rav is operating with an equation between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedjot in both directions. Either L'chumra, in the case of a Korban Yochid, Again, we're talking about Tumah now, in the case of a Karban Yachiv, or Lekula, in the case of a Karban Tziv. Then there's a third premise that Rava is assuming, and that is that Aninus is mutter to a Kohen Gadol, even in the case of a Kohen, of a Karban Yachiv. I mean, that's not explicit. In fact, the case of Aaron on the eighth day of the Miluim is clearly a Karban Tzibur, not a Karban Yochid, but yet Rava says that since the Torah didn't specify to the contrary, and the Torah says, you know, will be matir for the sake of a Kohen Gadol, the Anina situation, then it's even in the case of a Karban Yochid. And we're going to waive the Aninus in the case of a Kohen Gadol, even though it's only a Karban Yochid. And again, none of these premises are mentioned in the Torah explicitly. They're all derived from the fact that the Torah did not say otherwise. That's what we call stimas hapsukim, stimas haksuvim. If the Torah didn't qualify, then we assume, says Rava, that it's unqualified. If, for example, the avodah b'tumah is prohibited in a case of a Karban Yochid, then that's going to include even a Kohen Gadol. If, on the other hand, the Torah is matir in the case of a Karban Tzibur, since the Torah didn't qualify it, then it must mean that Tumah Huch B'Tzibur even vis-a-vis a Kohen Hedjot. We're not going to make any distinctions between a Kohen Hedjot and a Kohen Gadol. And so too, if the Torah was matir avodas Kohen Gadol in Aninus, and the Torah didn't specify, is we're not going to distinguish between a Karban Yochid and a Karban Tzibur. We're always going to assume that even in the case of a Karban Yochid, there's a heter for avodas Kohen Gadol b'Aninus, and that's going to give me a hutu mechlolo, that's going to generate a kavachomer, and we're going to assume that a Kohen Hedjot who's an onen is mechal his avoda even in the case of a Karban Tzibur. And therefore, Rav is going to come to the conclusion that the Isra Aninus in a Kohen Hedjot does not apply in the case of a Karban Yochid. Maskif lo Rav bar Ahiloi lo tutar Aninus etzel Kohen Gadol b'Karban Yochid. If we interpret the pasuk that allows avoda b'Aninus, and it's addressing the case of Karban Tzibur, we have no logical, compelling reason to expand the Heter Vaninus to the case of a Karban Yochid. Mikavachomer, Uma Tuma, Shehutra Eitzel Kohen Hedjot B'Tzibur, Lo Hutreitzel Kohen Gadol B'Karban Yochid. The case of Tumah has a Kula in Kohen Hedjot B'Karban Tzibur. Nevertheless, there's no Heter for a Kohen Gadol in the case of a Karban Yochid, because in the Issur Tumah in the Karban Yochid, the Torah didn't distinguish between a Kohen Hedjot and Kohen Gadol. Is Aninus, which is more chamur, shalo hutra etzel Kohen Hedjot b'Karban Tzibur. We don't find any heter in the case of Aninus. Is Einu Din shalo tutar etzel Kohen Gadol b'Karban Yochid? In other words, Rav Bar Eloi is attacking one of the three premises, the last that we mentioned, of Rav's Kalachomer, namely that the Torah was matir aninus for Kohen Gadol bein b'karban tzibur bein b'karban yachid, and he's saying no, according to your logic it should come out that aninus would only be mutter in the case of a karban tzibur but not in the case of a karban yachid, and that's based on a kal v'chomer. If Tumah, which the Torah has been makil in allowing a Kohen Hedjot for a Karban Tzibur, being Mater Tumah, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, even for a Kohen Hedjot, and yet lo hutre etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid. There's no heter in the case of a kohen gadol for a korban yachid. So how can you go ahead and say that aninus, where the Torah is even more mach, where the Torah doesn't have a heter for a kohen hedged in the case of a korban tzibur, how much more so it should be that there's no heter for a kohen gadol b'korban yachid? So we've already undermined the third of Rava's premises. Now let's go back up the line. V'tutar tumeitz al kohen gadol b'korban yachid. Now you said that there was no heter at all in a korban yachid as far as tuma is concerned. Bein b'kohen gadol, bein b'kohen hedged, bein b'kohen gadol. Let's use the Kal Vachomer to come to the exact opposite conclusion. It would be matir tuma in the case of a korban yachid, even for a kohen gadol. I'm sorry, for a kohen gadol, even in the case of a korban yachid. Why? Uma aninus. The Torah was more machmer and nishol hutreitz al kohen hedge open korban tzibur. There was no heter for aninus, except in the case of a kohen gadol in a korban tzibur. Is hutreitzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid? The Torah nevertheless was matir kohen gadol, and once the Torah was matir kohen gadol and aninus, it was matir even for a korban yachid. Is tuma shehutreitzel kohen hedjot b'korban tzibur? Tuma which is relative to aninus more kal, because the Torah gave a heter in the case of korban tzibur even for a kohen hedjot. Is ain a dinshel hutreitzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid? How much more so would there be a heter for a kohen gadol even in a case of a korban yachid? So why do you, Rav, assume that the Torah in the case of tuma was machmir in a korban yachid even as far as a kohen gadol is concerned? Certainly a kohen gadol should be mutter even in the case of a korban yachid with regard to tuma. And finally, lo tutar tuma etzel kohen hedjot b'korban tzibur. We should come to the conclusion that in the case of a korban tzibur, there's no heter tuma for a kohen hedjot. Whereas Rava's premise was that since the Torah was matir tuma in a korban tzibur, that should apply not only to a kohen gadol but even to a kohen hedjot. Let's come to the opposite conclusion based on a Kal Vachomer. Uma aninus, aninus has a kula. Insofar as hutra etzel kohen gadol, we find the Torah was matir. And Rava says once the Torah is matir aninus for a kohen gadol, it applies even to a korban yachid. We're not going to differentiate between a korban tzibur and korban yachid. Is nevertheless lo hutra etzel kohen hedjot the korban tzibur? According to Rava's logic, in the case of a kohen hedjot, the Torah was not matir aninus, not even in the case of a korban tzibur. Is tuma, which is even more chomer, shelo hutra etzel kohen gadol b'korban yachid, the only heter for a kohen gadol in tuma is only a korban tzibur, but not a korban yachid. Is ein din shelo tutar b'kohen hedjot, is even b'korban tzibur. So we basically undermined all the different premises of Rava. Ela, and therefore the Gemara concludes, Ika lemifrach, and here we're now on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Ika lemifrach hachi, Ika lemifrach hachi. You can always learn the Kal Vachomer in one direction, or you can alternatively learn in a different direction. If you learn in one direction, then you're going to come to a new conclusion that undermines the stimas haksuvim that we discussed before. And if you have a different Kal Vachomer, you're going to undermine a different din on the stima saksuv. Who knows? We'll never know exactly which Kal Vachomer we want to darshan. In order to darshan a Kal Vachomer, a one particular Kal Vachomer, you have to assume that the other dinim are bestimasam. They remain all inclusive. Because if not, then you don't have a Kal Vachomer. And there's no adifus for one Kal Vachomer over another Kal Vachomer. So how do you know which Kal Vachomer to judge? And therefore the Gemara concludes that Kol Chad V'Chad Teku B'Duchte, each one of the dinim should remain in its stima, in a makom stima, so the Torah didn't qualify, we assume it. And therefore, when the Torah was matir, for example, on ninus for Kohen Gadol, we're going to apply that bein b'kar ben yachid, bein b'kar ben tzibur. Or when the Torah prohibits a Kohen Hedjot, then we're going to assume that applies even in the case of a Karben Tzibur. And when the Torah was matir tum of a Karben Tzibur, it's going to include even a Kohen Hedjot. Now, in the case of a Karben Yachid, that's already something else. The Torah asks even a Kohen Gadol is it asks. So we're not going to derive a Kal Vachomer in one direction or another. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here.